you. Thank you.
Right.
Okay?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little windy. It should be fine.
Hello, little pup.
Maybe it's okay to have bit some environmental sound.
Absolutely.
Simple.
Yeah.
It's like almost there's nothing so special or something like that. Mm. I want to share this. I think I can kind of write a story about my hometown. Because the village I grew up with was demolished like years ago. So I don't really have a specific site I could refer to, and I was actually quite sad for that. But then I realized, I learned that history, like my ancestors, they come from another part of more north. And they were running away from the war and hiding in a mountains area in my hometown now, because it's very mountainous and it's kind of easy to hide. And then the hiding place get too crowded, and then more recent ancestors, they moved to the village, which was demolished. I think maybe this could be the guiding line to also really, because that's really all the film I want to introduce you to my hometown. But then I just really get quite complicated. So all this. So now I feel less sad because this village I grew up 20 years was demolished, and I was in Budapest and I didn't really...
Why was it demolished?
Because they want to build up its commercial building, residence house. They want to make new, they want to make profit from it.
Construction.
Yes. Mm. So it's very brutal. Mm. I think in China a lot of decisions happen so fast. That's why then the people are tough. They adjust so fast. But still there are a lot of wound, there are a lot of sadness need to be addressed.
And what was the war they were hiding from?
I don't know.
Your ancestor?
Like there are so many wars.
Ah, okay.
But maybe even earlier from 2000 years ago. Because
that's the
story I can trace. Because the village I come from, like it is a name from a family name. So the village called like this.
What's the village called?
Xujiacun.
Xujiacun?
Yes. So, Xu is a kind of a name, and I try to track the history of the family name of Xu, and then there are some, like, even the war from, I think, more than 2,000 years ago, and then they make this move, and then down to the south. But I think it's very easy to understand people, because now in my hometown, the majority, I don't know what percentage of the land are mountains, is not inhabitable.
Mm.
It's very difficult
steep.
To reach. Not steep, but like very, I think steep is not a word, but very mountainous. You cannot do, there's not so many, accordingly, like, people are farmers, so there are not so many available farming land. Like
they can eat and make food there.
But it's kind of easy to hide.
Mm.
Like it's kind of the wrinkle or the something.
Cute, the wrinkle.
The
wrinkle in the mountains?
On earth.
Oh, on earth.
Yes, so it's a landscape.
Yeah,
I think I understand my ancestors.
Yeah.
Sometimes I also want to hide in the mountains. It's what I feel. I always feel like it must be so easy life for me. Yes, and now I have to deal with all these kind of things. It's just too big and so complicated and so difficult.
Oh. Yeah. Wow, beautiful. Do you think you can say something in Chinese about your hometown? Can you explain this to me in Chinese? The name of your hometown and where you live or something like that?
I think in Chinese, I think for
is this
our
your mother tongue? Is Chinese
no,
your mother?
No, I think for me or for like it's already, I think within China as the imperial country.
Yes, of course.
And I think the people are, I don't know, like.
What's your mother tongue?
Wuyu.
Wuyu.
Yes,
beautiful. And can you say something in it? Like, this is my hometown, and the name of the hometown is that, and it's a wrinkle on the earth, and I don't know, something like that.
Well, for sure, the guy's in Gigan, the daddy. 就是跟哥哥带的一张光。I think I don't really have the feeling, but it's a language I feel most.
Actually,
I feel most comfortable.
So
yes, I think Chinese is a language.
Cantonese and Mandarin.
Yes, but Mandarin is a language I'm forced to speak since kindergarten times.
Yeah.
And it's my hometown language. Like now, the younger generation are losing that. They cannot speak it anymore.
You have to keep it.
Yes, I think people are making the effort, but I'm afraid it's going to be maybe lie at a museum corner and you have an audio guide. Like
no, but I want you to, I want us to make this in both languages. In Wuhai, or what's it called?
Wuyu.
Wuyu.
Yes.
And in English, so people in the world can understand it. Can you make it in two languages? Is
like
it okay?
What I just said.
Not now, but like when you make the poem.
Yes.
Make the poem in both languages.
Yes, I think
because there's actually a Chinese writer. Her name is Su Mu Mei, or something. She wrote this book about language and colonization, and the internalized colonization, and that we are by admitting to speak the colonial language, we are already participating in the colonial process, and we have to obviously say both. It's okay to speak, so for understanding others, to be the offering, the offering a language that everybody understands, but you have to insist on bringing in your mother tongue. That's why I did also just this piece,
yes.
Say no in your mother tongue.
Yes.
Because I want us to keep our culture and our little places and our little specificities.
Yes.
And
that's
stuff.
So important, because when I speak that, even now, I don't have this any like people to talk with, but this is language I can feel something go through the heart.
Yeah.
That's the language that flows from my heart. So
it sounds quite interesting. It sounds almost slightly Japanese. Can it be? It has a different rhythm or something. For example, Finnish is also like that. Finnish also has this rhythm. Like when they speak, they have this very
and it's interesting. You notice that. I think because in Japanese culture and in some parts of Chinese culture, they're very interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a deep exchange of culture.
Yeah.
Yes, so I think it's probably maybe
possible.
There's some
mm-hmm.
influences. Yes. But really, this is my mother tongue. I speak this language with my mom, with my sister. There's only the family member, but even this, for example, with my nephew, we cannot speak this anymore. And this, I think basically, yes, really it's the mother tongue. Bit sad.
It's amazing. It's amazing because I also have this, I have this section also on record, which is called Land Acknowledgement, and it's about belonging. It's not about owning stuff. It's about belonging and how much it's connected to culture and our families and our relations and the land as well. But there's also this girl from a very small nation in the northeast India. It's belonging to India, but it's actually not India. It's also an imperial country. And they are called Uipo. And she gave me this song. because she said, I don't want to give it to you, white person. I don't know, she said that almost like, you know, but I know that I have to give it to you because I know you will do something with it and you will make sure it's not forgotten because my people, it's almost gone. I was like,
that's a big responsibility.
No, I mean, it's in the internet now, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's this section where we can have a corner for those things and to say these things and keep them alive. I don't know, it's not like a museum. I don't want it to be a museum either, what you just said with audio guide.
I don't know. I think in general, I'm not, I don't have an optimistic outlook of what is going to arrive. Maybe it's also easier to really prepare something.
Yeah, I don't know if it's easier. I mean, people are different. So for some people, pessimism is helpful, and for some people,
so you can be
optimism, you know?
Easy.
Yeah.
So I think
not
what
disappointed.
I mean,
you're
easy.
Not being disappointed.
Yes. So everything arrives, and oh, you're kind of easy to be, to feel satisfied or appreciate things.
Mm.
Yes.
And do you have in your culture, or where your mother tongue is related to, do you have gods or goddesses there? Do you have like a different kind of religion? Like for example, a lot of in I'm aware of like Zen or Tao or like the religion of being. At least I learned about that. I don't know. Do you have anything like this?
Yes.
We don't have to publish this or anything, but I'm just interested.
Yes, I think.
Do you have
I
goddesses?
Yes, actually there are a lot, and I think in China in general, the Han culture, it's a very practical, things are very down to earth, like people don't like, also it's kind of, I don't know how to explain, but people, you take things with a certain cool and easy attitude.
That's good.
But still, I remember when I grew up, for example, and there are near the cooking place, like there are very like old cooking stove built up from mud, and then there are a fire, 灶火神, 土地神, 灶火. Like there are some like space to a space reserved for the fire god or something like that. We don't even use the word god, but then before the Chinese Lunar New Year, and we also there are also a lot of offering for, or there are I think, or when we there are specific dates dedicated to the people who, like the dear ones who are dead. And then I remember like all the people when they make the offering, and then they are offering to the sky, then to the land in general, then to the ancestors. Then it's very, people take it very easy. Like there's nothing so serious or something. But I think that's the attitude after the Cultural Revolution.
Mm.
But then, I don't know, there's just so many things I need to study and know more about. But this process, I think it's very like, I don't have so many available things ready for me. I have to really, slowly
discover.
Yes, and
yeah.
Also even make up things.
And so are you also Han culture? No.
Yes.
You are Han Chinese.
Yes, so the majority of the. But I think it's also.
But how can you be Han Chinese when you're speaking this language? I don't understand.
I think the construction of Han it's also like a dynamic process through a lot of wars, and of course at different historical periods in China there are many nations, smaller ones, and it's a lot of like a lot of borders, a lot of wars, so it's a a slow process to...
But it's amazing that you still speak this old language. Is it an old language?
Yes. I think in the one of the ancient poems you can find in China, and then I checked if I speak something in my hometown language, it actually make more sense if I speak in Mandarin. I think also this structure of the landscape, like the curves, it's kind of preserve something.
Super loud, super cool. I think it's very interesting because I just released a record of 24 goddesses from all over the planet, different goddesses, just random kind of, like, I'm not religious at all, and I just like the idea of goddesses as entities to give us courage or to identify with or to, you know, sometimes take an inspiration, like, and they're very place bound, you know, like, of course every place with the sea has a goddess of the sea, and everybody has a goddess of the, you know, in the north there are goddess of ice and snow, and then in the south they are like more like sun or the volcano goddess or whatever, you know, like each place has their own goddesses.
Yes.
And so I'm just thinking it's similar to languages or cultures in general, like how we just forget about them. It is kind of sad because they're so amazing. These are amazing ancient thoughts or amazing ancient simple ideas that make so much sense. I love the wind. To, you know, to have along with us during life, during the difficult way of life, you know, it's so great to go with the goddess of the mountain or something and speak to her or to them or whatever. For example, Vietnamese, they have four goddesses, who one of them is the mountain goddess, and they have different corners of the landscape or something. Very interesting, love it.
Yes.
So if you find a goddess.
Yes, there are a lot of goddesses.
Yeah.
Actually, in the tropical.
Okay, wir,
genau.
Wir hören gleich auf.
Nein, es ist 22.29 Uhr. Wir müssen einfach nur, wir haben die gesetzliche Vorgabe, um 11 draußen zu sperren.
Alles klar.
Deswegen nur die Bitte. Danke.
Oh, danke. Yes. Because in the tropical island of Hainan, I actually visited a temple. It's called Ma Zu Miao. So literally, it could be translated as Mother Ancestral Temple.
Mm.
Yes.
Matsu is also a Taiwanese one.
Yes, Matsu.
Mm.
So in the coast, along the coastline.
Yeah. I have her on my record.
Yes.
For her.
So I visited Ma Zu Miao. But I don't know so much about...
No, we don't know now.
But I
anymore.
Think I get some connection.
Yeah, no, it's not important. I was just curious because I just dug into these goddesses and I really love, like, in Finland we have I'm really like kind of the swamp goddess because we have a lot of swamp and that's like just flying, like, kind of like considered evil or a hag or like the woman after menopause, like the old, like the cleaner or something. It's quite very interesting symbolically, like, yeah, people have all sorts of goddesses. I'm kind of into it.
Interesting.
Yeah,
but I tend to believe, think on that level of being, it's agender. So it's God, goddess. I don't know why people want to still have genders for
them. It's very silly. The nice thing about Finland is that they don't have gender. In the language, not even. Do you have in your mother tongue? Do you have she, he?
I think there are different words. So yeah. Poetic, actually.
Because in Finnish there isn't.
But in the word, if you just hear it, you don't hear the difference, I think. But in written words, I think it's different. Mm. Actually, I don't know. Mm. I'm not so... I never really see like a system of written... system of my home, my mother tongue.
You haven't seen?
Yes, I think
the
people...
written system?
Yes, people are doing that.
Ah, but you can write it.
No. I think we lost that. But people are trying to...
revitalize.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Like they are making a kind of a study group to do that.
Yes, yes, yes. It's very much in fashion now. Really good
but
fashion.
But I believe like on our... in our world, we already lost so many languages.
Yeah, like totally. Many from full extinct.
Yes.
Wait. I just had the thought to comparative because I grew up in different places, but my formative years as a teenager, I lived in a socialist utopian kind of, you know, like these typical socialist buildings, like where they put workers, and it was like the idea was that everybody has the same flat with the same everything and we're like the same. And so I lived in this kind of housing and it was really good for me back then. I was thinking, oh, I'm so proud of our little, you know, socialist flat or whatever. I had my own room and it was warm and there was water and everything was okay. Simple, very, very simple, you know, communist vision. But then when the wall came down and a few years later, nobody wanted to live there anymore and they also took the house away and it's already gone. Everything's gone there. They have flattened the whole area. It's, I don't know, there's not even anything now. There's just grass or like it's just nature taking over again.
So people were so eager to move away.
Yeah, the city totally shrank, like hugely. Because, first of all, many people left anyway, and then also, yeah, nobody wanted to be in these houses anymore. And when I went to visit last time, in 2004, with my friend, we filmed still a little bit, and then they took it away, and now it's gone. Just reminded me that it happened to me too.
Yes.
And it's also, I was sad that that house where I, you know, spent my youth, very important
yes.
years, is gone, but then I sometimes also feel so free.
Yes, such a relief.
Yeah, I also feel
yes.
I don't have to have responsibility for this house or this place, or I maybe I miss it, but it's also, I mean, it wasn't mine, or, you know, it was just like a slot to live in, and it's like interesting to think about being free of it.
Yes, I think it's, for me, it was such a violent process, but now I feel, because so many of my things were lost in the process of moving. But then I think, yes, it's such a big freedom.
Yeah.
Because it might took me a long, I need to get a lot of strength to actually easily through things.